This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Good afternoon. We are getting on the sauce this afternoon. We're on the slops, we're on the terps, call it what you will. It's time to talk wine with some of our great mates. We are talking to Christian Delzotto from Delzotto Wines about some events they've got coming up. The fabulous Dan Sims will join us and talk about some bottle shop concepts events. And we'll also be talking with Jono from Best's Winery. And finally, how can we not talk about wine baptism of fire? There's so much to talk about. Let's get on with it. Good afternoon. We are talking, well, I don't know that we're entirely talking cravings this afternoon. We are, in fact, talking a little bit about booze. So if you're somebody who doesn't drink, you may get a little bored. There's a lot of news around. There's news about booze. Beautiful bit of rhyming work there. Mojo Winemakers are presenting the Wine Baptism of Fire again. This is an amateur winemaking competition. You are indeed eligible and might even want to get involved with this competition. It's where you actually get to make some wine and you're mentored by a wine guru. Rory Kent will join me in just a second. We'll talk about that. We're also talking bottle shop concepts. Those people that bring you Pinot Palooza, Game of Rones, the wine, Big Wine Day Out, all of those events. We're going to talk a little bit about what's on the calendar for 2016. Christian Delzotto will join us from Delzotto Wines up in the Northeast about some of the events that are happening in that part of the world. And Jono Mogg from Best's in Central Victoria, he's going to talk about a really big number that's out this week. The Australian wine exports details were released earlier this week, and Australian wine exports have grown, and it's probably the biggest export number since about 2007. So we're going to talk about how that affects Australian winemaking community as well. There is so much to get through, and I'm delighted to have your company. 0427 joy 949, should you wish to send a text message through. I'll be here until 2 o'clock. 1300 joy 949, should you wish to call and lend your thoughts to the program via telephone. You can email onair@joy.org.au should you wish, or you can send a tweet to cravingsjoy949. That's not underscore anymore, just cravingsjoy949. Send through a tweet. We can interact in a whole variety of ways with you today. Rory Kent, a man who has joined us on this program before, several times, in fact. He heads up the Mojo Winemakers Wine Baptism of Fire. And I caught up with him a couple of days ago and had a little bit of a chat about what that competition's about and the fact that he has gone national this year. So here's that chat with Rory Kent. You're here on Cravings here on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station. You are on Joy 94.9.
Making competition, and some of our friends, the likes of Jess Ho and Wiramu Andrews, have taken part in what's been a really exciting project. It's been headed by Rory Kent. It's now entering its third year, and this year, well, it's going global, almost going global, going national. Rory Kent's joining me. Rory, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Pete. It's a pleasure to be back on Joy FM.
Talk to us about Wine Baptism of Fire. What's the process? What do people actually do, and who's eligible to join the competition?
Sure. Well, it's a project that we've run 2 years previously, and this is our third edition. And thanks to Mojo Winemakers, we're able to take the competition national or potentially global. for the first time. So, you know, the exciting thing is that, you know, Mojo wants to be a brand that people turn to perhaps for their first experience in wine, and that really aligns with what we're trying to achieve with the competition in being able to create a fun activity around wine that people can follow to understand the winemaking process further.
Because wine is such an earnest subject. It's very serious. You read these things about barnyard smells and the essence of a struck match. It does need to relax a little bit, and this is a program that helps do that, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So essentially, we get people who don't know anything about wine or winemaking, and
unless they like to drink it.
That's the only important thing to know, really, and give them an opportunity to make wine under the guidance of, you know, the best and brightest gurus around. So it's a once in a lifetime opportunity, and for those who aren't perhaps lucky enough to be able to participate directly in it, it's an opportunity to learn about it through osmosis, because what we'll be doing this year for the first time is broadcasting an online series around it. So it's in effect a reality winemaking series about wine.
And it's going to be based online, so we can watch it anywhere, anytime, nice and easy.
Correct, and then hopefully by the end of the year we'll have something for TV as well.
Excellent. So who can enter? So you mentioned Mojo being an entry-level wine tasting experience, if you will, from a, you know, as you start to drink wine, you find things that you like, and Mojo is that sort of young, funky brand. Are you looking for young, funky people, or is there somebody my age or older that could get involved?
I don't think there's any age. We don't have an age target in our description for casting, so we're just looking primarily for people who love wine and passionate to learn more about it, and you know, willing to take the time to not only make a product but launch one too. So the process goes throughout the entire 2016. So we start with harvest in February or March, and the participants will be then bottling their wines in September, releasing in October, and by December we announce a winner. And in between, not only are they making the wines, but they've also got to successfully launch and sell the wines, because you're not a winemaker unless people are buying your booze. So we team teams up with design agencies, and so they have a lot of fun with that sort of creative side of the process as well.
So it's designing the label, it's working out the wording that goes on the label within the legal boundaries, of course. It's not just pressing some juice and sticking it into a tank.
It's the full winemaker experience, absolutely.
In the past 2 years, it's been predominantly centered in Victoria. What's the motivation to going global, going national? Did you want to try and find people who are different walks of life, or is it I know you can't have made wine before professionally is pretty much the only criteria for the competition apart from the time commitment. I like this idea of making it sort of almost a state of origin, state against state type of thing.
Yeah, I think that's you know, really we were driven in the competition to expand it, and going national was a part of that, and then that led us to the idea of having this, you know, state against state, city versus city idea to it. So we're looking for, you know, one team to represent each city or state around Australia, and we'll have a number of winemaking regions that will connect those people to, and we cover all of the costs, all of the transport costs, all of the grape and winemaking costs, etc., etc. So so it's a big step for us this year, and it's thanks to Mojo, I guess, for having the vision to be able to support us to take us to the next level.
There is a bit of a prize at the end. There's 10K up for grabs for the winner. Plus, I think this is the thing that appeals to me most. The teams can choose their charity partner, so that there are some proceeds that can go to a charity organisation at the end of this as well, once the wine is sold.
Yeah, we're anticipating that we'll have about a $10,000 to $15,000 donation for the winning team's charity as well. So it's nice that they can, I guess, you know, reward themselves for the time and effort and blood, sweat and tears that they put into it, as well as supporting and raising the profile of a charity. And then furthermore, we also anticipate to be announcing an international wine experience opportunity for the winning team. So we're looking at a couple of options right now on either an overseas vintage experience or a visit to an international wine show. So stay tuned.
That would be super cool. I'm almost tempted to enter myself. If people want to know more or want to apply, all the application details are on the website. What is the website?
WineBOF for Baptism of Fire .com.
WineBOF.com. Rory Kent, thank you for joining us again to talk about what I think is the most exciting amateur wine competition in the country, bar none.
I think it's the only amateur winemaking competition in the country.
Thank you to Rory Kent. I would encourage you to get onto the website, have a little bit of a look at that, because you can enter. Anyone can enter, as long as you haven't made wine professionally before. That's really the only parameters. And I think what a wonderful opportunity it would be to be able to make some wine. Do that, wineboff.com. We'll return shortly and have a bit of a chat to our mate Dan Sims about all of the things that he's got going on this year. You are on Cravings here on Joy 94.9. It's 1:15.
I was at work.
I was riding my horse.
I was microwaving a watermelon.
My iguanas escaped.
There are lots of reasons why you may have missed your favourite show, but don't worry, because our podcast team has you covered. They'll work through rain, hail and national glitter shortages to bring you the best bits of every show. Visit joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab, or head to the iTunes Australia podcast store and subscribe to your favourite shows for free. Thanks to our podcasters, you'll never feel guilty about missing a show again. Joy.org.au.
You are here on Cravings on Joy 94.9, where it is 17 minutes after 1 o'clock. I did say there's a lot happening in wine. We just heard from Rory Kent about the Mojo Winemakers Wine Baptism of Fire. Somebody else who's always got something going on in wine, he's probably one of the busiest blokes in wine, just quietly, is Dan Sims. Good afternoon, mate.
G'day, Pete. How are you?
Good to talk to you. I'm good, thank you. Big year ahead for us on this program as we celebrate 8 years on air. We have our eighth birthday.
8 years?
Yeah, I know. We have our eighth birthday in a little while.
My God.
I know.
Where does time go?
I remember, I think it was the very first or second program I did on this station was indeed with you.
Oh, my God. I must have been 15.
Yeah, I know. We were just young kids at that stage. And, you know, we keep coming back to you to keep us informed about what's happening in wine. And bottle shop concepts, it's very difficult for me to say that without stumbling over it. Your organisation that over the last few years you've developed, and we're seeing, you know, events like Pinot Palooza and Game of Thrones being talked about within the wine industry as benchmark events. What's happening in 2016?
Well, I think last year was a bit of a big one for us, and we're only a very small team, but we did about 16 events in 6 cities and 2 countries. And what we found really interesting, actually, was at the end of the year, we just posted our end of year report, and it's funny because with the wine industry, it's very much doom and gloom, right? They sort of talk things down a little bit, but then we sort of, when we had a look at all the numbers and things like that, you know, people have never been more interested in wine. You know, they never have, and that's really, really exciting, I think. You know, people are really interested in about what they're consuming, whether that's spirits, coffee, wine, food, everything like that. So now we were really excited, and for 2016 coming up ahead, we've got something like about 25-30 events, and we're expanding a bit into New Zealand and doing a lot more here in Australia, and it's great. It's really good to see positivity, you know, around wine. People are just drinking it and enjoying it, you know, without. And I always say, you know, people want to learn about wine the same way they consume it, and that's socially. You know, no one wants to sit in a goddamn after class.
No, and we don't want to be surrounded by a bunch of earnest people talking in terms that we don't understand.
Well, this is the thing, and I think about this a lot, and I use the music analogy, right? You know, music, there are so many different types of music, so many different genres, so many different artists, so many different countries producing music. Now, if you like music, you know, what do? You know, you stream it on Spotify, or you go to live bands.
You go across to a store and actually buy a CD.
You go to a store, buy a CD, buy vinyl. Vinyl's coming back. Oh, you know, so you completely surround yourself with it. You know, you don't, and that's how you do it. You consume it, but you don't wake up one morning and go, you know what, I'm really into music. I'm going to go and do a masterclass.
Yeah, I know. And by the same token, our taste in music is quite diverse, because today we might feel like opera and tomorrow we might feel like some thrash metal. So it's like going from a beautifully fine Chardonnay to, you know, a really crazy out there natural wine that's, you know, quite weird and unusual. So it's our wine taste can vary from a day-to-day basis.
And that should be good. You know, you want to. I'm the same. Like I've got a very short attention span, so I like to. My tasting music is pretty diverse, and so is my tasting wine. And whether that's sort of, you know, it's the, again, I use, it's like movies. You know what I mean? Sometimes you want to watch a really good art house movie from Sundance that's really deep and meaningful, and you just want to cry yourself to sleep at the end of it, and sort of at the end of it going, "What the fuck just happened?" And then on the other side, you sometimes you just want to go watch the Avengers.
Did you just say a swear on my program?
I didn't, sorry. Is that the first time I've done that? I normally swear. I like to use them as exclamation points.
I swear a lot, but I don't think that I've dropped it very much on this program.
Sorry, everybody.
It's quite all right. It's some good news this week, I think, in some regards, that Australia's wine exports are at a peak, the biggest number in almost a decade.
Yeah.
Which tells us about the demand for Australian wine overseas, and there are obviously some brands that are doing that particularly well.
Yep.
In your experience and with your knowledge, does that have a knock-on effect to some of the smaller players in the industry?
Well, I think right now in wine, it's a great opportunity, and that has something to do with the fact that the dollar has dropped down to, you know, around that sort of 70-cent mark, and that makes, you know, well, exporting wine a lot more cost effective, and in terms of the quality of Australian wine that's being into the US market as well as Asia, is a lot more accessible, which is a real, which is a positive for that. And I think, you know, the smaller players and things like that, you know, the one exciting thing about Australia at the moment is diversity. And we're starting to see a real celebration of that. And for a long time, I think, with Australia, we tended to think we just do Shiraz and that's it. We do it really well. And that's what we do, and we market Claret. That. But, you know, it's love Claret. Diverse, you know, when everyone says, what's the most exciting thing in Australian wine at the moment? It's diversity. Now, because if you think about it in terms of other countries in the world, and forget that we're incredibly, you know, biased that we come from Australia. But, you know, if you want world-class sparkling, no problem, we've got it.
Tassie.
You want world-class Pinot, got it. You want Cabernet, got it. Shiraz, got it. If you want Italian varietals or, you know, Spanish varietals,
we've got it.
You know, if you want, you know, we talk about, I don't use the word natural, but skin contact wine or, you know, alternative styles of wine, we've got them too.
We've got a festival devoted to alternative wines.
And that's the thing. Yeah. So if you look at, you know, any other country in the world, they do certain things very well. What we've got is an opportunity to do a broad range of styles really, really well and export that and tell that stories. And I think the smaller producers all the way through to some of the larger players, it's the story that counts, you know. And, but, you know, now I've worked in restaurants, you know, most of my career, and I can tell you right now, I never sold a bottle of wine on facts and figures. You know, I sold it on style and story,
and
the stories around the winemakers and taste. You know, that's what people connect to, because people connect to story. They don't connect to stainless steel tanks.
Exactly. You know? The other thing interesting that probably has a knock-on effect for the events you run is, as wine is becoming more accessible, more and more people become interested in those events that aren't earnest and serious and deep and challenging. They want to go somewhere where it's fun and interesting and they can have a good time. It can be a very social experience as much as it is an experience about education. And that's where I think Pinot Palooza sort of set the benchmark in that regard.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, Palooza's been, you know, has evolved, you know, really well. We're in six cities this year. We're actually taking Palooza to Auckland for the first time. And, you know, between you and me, here you go. Here's a little exclusive for you, Pete.
I love an exclusive, you know, Dan. You know,
you love exclusive, you know. And, you know, I'll tell you this now, but we've got plans to take it to New York potentially in November.
November.
So,
why couldn't it be August?
I need to plan it, but there's potential to get over to New York at the end of this year, and then also we're looking at Singapore and Hong Kong in 2017. So the idea around it is very much that social, you know, people want to, as I said, learn about it, how they consume it, that socially, and it's also an experience, you know. It is possible to go to a wine event, learn something and enjoy yourself. You know, and that's really what it is. And we link Palooza with music a lot because we say it's the same thing. People get music, you know, and they feel comfortable with it. There's a commonality there. So people talk about different bands and different artists that they like in a very sort of social environment. And that's the same thing with wine. We don't say to anybody who comes to Palooza, you're not going to learn everything there is to know about Pinot in the 5 hours you stay with us. Well, all we want you to do is find your favourite. That's it. and enjoy yourself, you know, talk to the people, you know, listen to some music, have some great food and have that experience, you know, and I think that's that we're really seeing that. And whether that's through our events or, you know, Rootstock, I was up there helping the guys out at the end of November in Sydney, and that was phenomenal, you know. And even smaller events that you're seeing down here, Campbell Burden's doing some really cool lunches once a month at the Abbotsford Convent. You know, they're really cool. You know, people are interested. And, you know, that's exciting. That's exciting for everybody.
And it's those sorts of things that are going to have more people engaged. I was just talking to Rory Kent, a chat I had with him a couple of days ago about the wine baptism of fire, the Mojo winemakers now behind that. That's an entry-level competition for people who've never made wine before. It's an opportunity to have a wine experience, which is completely unique and interesting, and it's going to bring young people to to the industry.
And that's the thing, you know, it has to be engaging, and how we, you know, learn about wine or consume, learn about it is by drinking it. And that's not a bad thing. Like, you know, and everyone talks about, oh, you're promoting drinking of wine and it's alcohol. I'm like, yeah, but wine by default is actually social. You know, if you think about it, you know, wine, if you go to a bar or pub, you know, you have a beer. If you order a beer, it's an individual drink. You know, like, oh, I'm going to have five beers, thanks, for me and my mates. You don't walk up to the bar and go, I'm going to have a bottle of wine. We'll have five bottles of wine, please. You know, you buy it and you share it. So that automatically by default is social.
Indeed.
You know, so there's that thing about, which is what I like about it. And that's not to be wanky. That's not to be elitist. It's not. You know, it's just it's a fun, and it's about celebrating deliciousness, you know.
Correct. And that's all what things. It's all about.
It's pretty easy, Pete, honestly. It really is. I mean, I've been banging on about it for ages. But
eight years at least, because I know when we first talked, it was...
I know, it would have been underage, Pete. Yes, it would have been underage.
I know. Mate, it's always good to talk to you. I'll let you get back to your Saturday afternoon. Thank you for joining me. And if people want to know more about what you're doing with Pinotpalooza, Game of Thrones and other things, they can go to a website, which is...
BottleShopConcepts.com, or just follow me on Instagram at Dan_Sims, or on Twitter at Dan Sims, or at BS_Concepts. Easy.
So many ways to follow you, mate. Good to talk to you.
So many.
Thanks, Dan.
And congratulations on you.
Thank you. Cheers, mate. That's Dan Sims. He is a very a man that has a very vast knowledge of all things happening in wine. And we're going to speak to another one of those chaps in just a moment. But first, it behoves me to play some messages right here on this station. You are on Cravings here on Joy 94.9, 0427 569 949. Send me a text. You can email on air at joy.org.au. You can get in touch with me via the Joy app if you have it on your handheld device, or you can, if you wish, do things the old-fashioned way and send a tweet to cravingsjoy949. Some messages, and we'll return with the very delightful Christian Del Zotto.
We're listening to you. SMS 0427 joy949, email onair at joy.org.au, or call us 1300 joy949.
Or send a tweet to cravingsjoy949, because that is who you are with. Hello, I'm Pete Dillon, taking you through until the escape pod have you on a plane somewhere at 2 p.m. We are talking all things vinous this fine afternoon. It's a drizzly afternoon and probably a nice afternoon to have a nice little glass of something red, I would think. If you're not going to have a glass of Prosecco, you should have something red. Somebody who knows a lot about Prosecco red and all sorts of things in between is Christian Del Zotto. He's, of course, from Del Zotto Wines in the King Valley. Good afternoon, good sir.
Good afternoon, Mr. Dillon. How are you, sir?
I am all the better for hearing your dulcet tones. What's happening in the King Valley? How's your weather?
Weather is absolutely perfect. We've got blue skies. It's about 28 degrees, mate. So we're on the back deck looking down at the vines, sipping on some Prosecco, mate.
Well, that's a very pleasant way to be spending a Saturday afternoon. Some of us are working, but that's okay.
Look, mate.
It is the way it is. You've recently been overseas on a personal matter, but did you get a chance to imbibe a little bit of US wine while you were abroad?
We did. We tested out some of the Sonoma Chardonnay, some Russian River Chardy. My wife's a particular fan of Chardonnay, if you haven't picked a theme by
yeah,
now.
Yeah, got that.
It was actually not too bad, but I have to say the Australian examples of Chardonnay, I think we're miles ahead. A little bit leaner, more focused.
I was going to ask how they stack up. What about some of the things they're known for, like Zinfandel and that sort of thing? Did you get a chance to wrap your lips around some of those?
I didn't get a chance. Tasted some Pinots just out of Oregon,
yep,
which were absolutely delicious. But I didn't do much more than that, mate. I was kept on a pretty tight leash this time.
Which is probably not a bad thing at all.
Well, yeah, sometimes.
You've got a number of events coming up. Obviously, you're hosting the world's longest lunch in the King Valley. What's on the table for that?
So the regional world's longest lunch, as you know, this year's with Melbourne Food and Wine Festival, the theme is sense of place. So what we've done is we've looked at who it is that's, you know, close working family relationship with the Delzotto Wines family. We've got Anthony from Simone, Doug Elder from Brown, our chef Mark from Delzotto's, obviously, and a couple of others. So it's thinking of everything that's locally sourced, from goat to chicken. There's the Miller with Cheese guys. Beetroot Honey are on board as well. Local guy making some bread. Then you've got all the lovely, delicious wines, you know, from, you know, the Prosecco Road Group will be there serving your nice, you know, aperitif Prosecco or maybe a spritz. As you enter, some All Saints Marsan, Sion Rosé, some Sorenberg Gamay, some Chardonnay out of Beechworth, some Sangiovese, which King Valley is also getting known for, and then some nice, you know, Tokays and Muscats coming out of Brother Glen and one from the Alpine.
It sounds like a very pleasant afternoon. I think I'll be stuck in Melbourne though, mate, so I can't be there to join you.
Well, there's an offer there on the table, mate.
And there is always an offer on the table, and it will very soon be taken up. Hey, the Salami Festival, you know, we're fond of a sausage on this program.
You love a little bit of a sausage, yeah. you're a cheeky man, Mr. Dillon.
Me? Never. I'm not being vulgar.
Never. Sorry?
I'm not being vulgar at all.
No. Sausage is great. So this year we've teamed up with the guys from the Meat Room down in Kilmore, and we've launched King Valley's first Salami Festa. So September, it's a while away, yes. So it's September 10. What we've decided to do, instead of just doing a normal sending the salamis and we'll judge them, it's a bit of a regional taste off. So we're looking at the north versus south regional style competition. So looking for that perfect salami. So if you've got any tips for the listeners out there, Pete, now would be the appropriate time.
Look, I'm going to make a really big confession here, Christian. I've never made salami.
Mm. Well, mate,
I love salami. I love eating it.
Yes,
but I've never made salami. I'm a bit of a virgin in that regard.
You're a virgin to that. Okay, look, mate, we run classes. Through the Meat Room again down in Kilmore. So if anyone's particularly interested, and we'd love to host you, mate, down at one of these classes so you can get a bit of an idea as to what goes on. So traditionally the time's around June in winter, so you have to drink a fair bit of red to warm up. I hope you're comfortable with that.
Look, anything that I have to do to keep warm, I'm willing to give it a bash.
Look, mate, it's the lengths you go to that make you the man you are.
You know what we should do, Christian? We should hatch a little plan right here, right now. We should get a gaggle of gays on a little bit of a minibus, and we'll bring the gays up to learn to deal with the sausages.
Look, you know what, mate? I couldn't think of anything more appropriate than a gaggle of gays to come up and deal with a group of sausage-making classes.
I will put the call out to our listeners this minute. We will gather anybody interested, 0427 Joy949, or send a tweet to Cravings Joy949. We can get ourselves on a bus and head to the King Valley and learn to make salami. If that is something you have thought about doing and have never done, let's do it. There we go.
Sounds good, mate.
We'll bring a class. How's vintage looking, Christian, in the King Valley?
But vintage is looking great. About to kick off, I think, probably in the next week or so. Start picking off some Pinot Grigio. But as it stands, everything looks amazing. The whites are looking great. The reds are starting to change colour now. So everything's looking pretty smart, mate. So we're hoping for a vintage up there with the 2015.
And so it's been relatively warm.
It's been nice and warm. We've had some cooler nights. So we're very lucky in the King Valley where we get the warm days, but we generally find that the temperature will drop to about around 20 or even below 20 most nights.
Mm.
So it gives the vines, gives the berries a chance to actually relax. Skins don't get too tight then, which is ideal for when you actually press out the actual grapes themselves for juice.
And if you're if people are not familiar with the process, so what comes first? Is it the sparkling grapes that come first, the Prosecco grapes, or is it some of the other whites?
Prosecco is one of the last whites for us to harvest. So we'll actually do Pinot Grigio, some Riesling, a little bit of Arnais, then some Prosecco. We'll pick it a couple of different times and a couple of different Beaumet levels or sugar levels.
I was going to say, for Beaumet levels for those playing at home is the level of sugar in the grape as it is on the vine.
So, and then it's dependent on what the winemaker wants to get out of the actual finished product. So they'll go through different tastes, different samples throughout the course leading up to picking, and then once they find that the fruit's tasting, having that nice appropriate flavour that they want particular styles, that's when they'll start to pick. So there's no set in stone date for us. We like to make sure that everything each year has its own little spin on how it's going to taste.
And we want each year to taste slightly differently so that we're not drinking the same thing every year. There's going to be different nuances that, that can result from a slightly colder night, a little bit of frost, a couple of hotter days.
Yep. And that's the joy of being, you know, we'll say boutique-sized winery. You're not going to have something that's just processed to make it taste the same way and manipulated to taste the same way.
Mm.
So that's the exciting thing about wine.
And there's another little festival you do throughout the year that happens between now and the end of the year?
Well, between now and the end of the year, we've got a few coming up. I mean, we've got some in March, again, through Melbourne Food and Wine Festival. We've got Prosecco Road at Southgate, so on March 4th, 5th and 6th. So that's with the Prosecco Road group. We're coming down to Melbourne to pour Prosecco for those who enjoy a tipple of that lovely Italian fizz that's made in Australia.
Oh, it's delicious, isn't it?
So, and then there's also City at Southgate. So it's like a cellar door set up with most wineries from Victoria, to be honest. So again, at night, 4th, 5th and 6th, down in Melbourne, Prosecco Road at Southgate and City cellar door at Southgate as well. So it's a pretty good weekend to be in Melbourne drinking some vino.
And then the end of the year, of course, the King Valley Wine Festival that you guys are very much a part of.
Yep. Yeah, so in November, the third weekend in November, it's the King Valley's La Dolce Vita, the Sweet Life Festival. So everyone puts on a festival and we'll have our Prosecco Festival again. I think we'll be in our 8th or 9th year for our Prosecco Festival, well, 10th year actually. So it's just a group of wineries. We'll get together. Each winery holds their own festival. So at Del Zotto, we celebrate all things about Prosecco. So cocktails, DJs, bands, pig on the spit, everything about life and sweetness about it, mate, and drinking, eating, couldn't get more beautiful than that.
There is nothing better indeed. Mate, good to talk to you. Congratulations
you
on your personal news. We'll catch up on that in a little
too,
while.
Sir.
Yes,
you
we
too.
Shall. We are overdue for a glass of something sparkling together.
We are, mate.
Good to talk to you.
Good to speak to you, mate.
Cheers, Christian.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Christian Del Zotto. He's a great ambassador for the King Valley, which is one of the many wine regions in Victoria that are hosting events throughout the year. We'll catch up with Christian again in a little while, but very shortly we're going to speak to John O'Mogg. He's from Best's Wine in Central Victoria. We'll actually ask him about vintage as well, but there's some really big export numbers out this week about the Aussie wine industry that we're going to talk about as well. There's some very good news. You're here on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
Bonjour, I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are speaking with me, Pete Dillon, here on Joy 94.9. It's currently 14 minutes to 2, and in just a few seconds we're going to speak to Jonathan Mogg. He is from Best's Winery in Central Victoria, and I'll have him on the phone in just 1 second. Jonathan, good afternoon.
Hi, how you going?
Good, mate. It's good to talk to you. Thanks for joining me at short notice.
Thanks for having me.
So the news out this week, Australian wine exports have grown to their highest levels in almost 10 years. Wine Australia statistics are suggesting that there's been a surge of about 14%. United States is our biggest export market, but the growth is coming from China. This is very good news for wine producers.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And one of the really pleasing things is that the value has grown even more than the volume. So we're putting the right wines in the right countries.
Does that mean we're sending less wine and getting the same amount of bucks?
Well, there's more wine going, but there's more premium wine going as well. So the value is growing faster than the volume, which is a really pleasing.
Now, Best is not a huge winery in the big scheme of things, but you guys do have a bit of a celebration, I believe, this year.
We do. We're just about to celebrate throughout 2016 our 150th anniversary. So we're one of a small handful of wine producers around the country that are fortunate enough to have lasted 150 years. So we've got a raft of events and a sort of dinners and program that we're going to roll out as we go through the year.
Are any of your vines that you're currently producing wine from as old as the winery itself, or did phylloxera hit and have a bit of an effect on that at some point?
Well, no. We're fortunate enough not to ever have had the effects of phylloxera throughout Great Western, and our Best has never been affected by it. So the answer is yes. We've got from our original nursery block, where all the original plantings came from, to our we've got Shiraz, 15 rows of Shiraz, and some Pinot Meunier and Pinot Noir that come from 150, 149, and 148-year-old vines.
So, Jono, is any of that do you export any of that? Is any of that going to those markets in the US, China, the UK, Hong Kong?
Yes, we have in the past. We're sending our very top 150-year-old vine, Thompson Family Shiraz. That makes its way, a small allocation of that wine makes its way to China, and they're very happy to receive that. And some of our Pinot Meunier also heads across to the UK and the US.
I just want to jump back to those figures and that news that we talked about. So for a winery like yours, and I'm going to talk more broadly about Great Western in just a second, but for a winery like yours, how important is it to be present in those markets overseas as much as it is in Australia?
Oh, I mean, we've found it to be important all throughout our history. We've had various cycles, various periods throughout our commercial history where exports have been the dominant part of our business. At the moment, we're tracking at about 20-25% of our business being exports. But we find it's really important to have our wines available in some of those more important markets, the UK and the US. And then in the last 4 or 5 years, the China market for us has become really, really important. So we're placing our wines in some of the biggest cities in China.
Is that the case across the board? Is Australia going to rely more on our export market, given that there are a bunch of sort of new wineries who are producing wine in China, and there are some suggestions that wine is going to be the Chinese are going to be producing as much wine in the next sort of 10 years as we are now?
Well, I mean, the mere size of the market is just sort of blows the mind sometimes. The imported wine into China from all around the world only amounts to about 10%. Of their wine production and consumption. So they're already making 90% of the wines in the domestic China mainly. What's happening, though, is that the consumers of wine in China are maturing really quickly, and they're starting to really enjoy different styles from around the world. The Chinese winemakers have struggled in the past to get good quality, clean products. So a lot of the more affluent middle class and affluent market for wine are really starting to choose the imports, and we want to be part of that as well.
And Jono, is there space for Australian and New Zealand, some of the New World winemakers, if our industry starts to suffer a little bit, is there space for them to find work in China as the market grows and the production grows over there?
Oh yeah, I think so. I think it's already started to happen. There's been I don't know any off the top of my head, but there has been a few examples of people going over and helping the Chinese set up vineyards and develop winery, wine production facilities and so forth. And I think the Chinese are looking for people to help them develop that side of it as well. Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about Great Western. You mentioned before that's obviously where you're located, and the news last year that Great Sepulchre at Great Western is to be sold or actually to be closed down. And, you know, we know that they're a fifth generation winemaker in there. There's also smaller producers who are supplying Sepulchre with grapes. How big of an impact is that closure on the region and the industry in the region?
Oh, it's having a big impact. Obviously, the jobs that have suffered because of the closure of the winery facility. If there is a light point, the brand Sepulchre is still going to be produced by Treasury, and so a lot of the grape growers that have relied on Sepulchre to take their fruit. Are still have their contracts in place, and I think they're going to be honoured into the future as far as taking those parcels across to South Australia to make the wines there. But as far as the town, I mean, we're in a lot of ways devastated by the fact that you know, with only two original wineries in Great Western, the famous wine township in Victoria, to have the biggest one closed down. Yeah, it's sad. It's the end of an era, and it's a shame that they couldn't last the course and go another 150 years, which is what we're trying to do.
Exactly. And look, the roll-on effect for small business, obviously Sepulchre does bring some tourism into the region. It obviously brings, it supports small business like cafes, B&Bs, that sort of thing. How much is the roll-on effect going to hit the town? It's not a huge town by any stretch, but it's always sort of been there around Sepulchre. It's quite disheartening to think that there are other small businesses that are going to be the secondary victims of the closure.
Yeah, I mean, we're not putting our hands up and saying that we're the victims. We've actually been able to grow our visitation over the last 4 or 5 years dramatically. And I think that's part of the reason that is because we're traditionally not a wine tourism destination type arrangement in the Grampians, but we're also a really pleasant surprise if people come up for some bushwalking, some visits to Halls Gap and the surrounding places, and then they discover that there's you know, really old wineries that have good facilities and good experiences and great wines to taste, then that's a really pleasing aspect of their visit. And so we've really traded on the fact that people are coming up for the sort of adventure, the bushwalking and the good food and wine. And then, you know, they'll discover that we've got some great cellar doors to visit. Mm. I mean, the shame is that some people won't get an opportunity after the middle of this year to be able to share in the Sepulchre experience. I mean, they've got an amazing facility with underground drives and so forth, and that's kind of going to be lost to history, I guess.
Indeed, mate. It's good to talk to you. Thank you for your time this afternoon and giving us a bit of an update on where things are at. And I hope we can catch up with you in a little while and perhaps talk about the Big Grampians Grape Escape Festival.
Well, that'd be great. You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff. That's Jonathan Mogg. He's from Best, who are celebrating their 150th birthday this year, which is all good. And obviously talking a little bit about the coming Grampians Grape Escape, which we'll feature in the next little while.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
It has been a delight to have your company with me this afternoon. Very soon, Joe and Mark will be delighted by your company as well on the escape pod as they take you travelling. I need to say thank you to all of my guests, to Rory Kent, to Dan Sims, to Christian Delzotto, and to Jono Mogg, some of the greatest wine minds in our country. Thanks for your feedback via text and email as well. Remember, you can keep in touch with us through the week. Cravings Joy 949 on Twitter, or you can email cravings@joy.org.au. More Cravings next week, of course, but until I speak with you again, thank you for your company. Keep well, stay safe, don't drink too much on Australia Day. I've been Pete Dillon, this is Cravings. It's time now for the escape pod at 2 o'clock.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.